This morning we are reading from Genesis 37, starting partway through verse 17 and reading to 28. Let us hear God's word. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices and balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Plans don't always work out the way we want them to. I've developed a plan for cleaning the snow out of our driveway. I don't use that as much as I would like to use that. I said at the early service, if anybody works for the city in retirement, I would love to drive a sidewalk plow. I think those are the coolest things ever. That's an aside. That's not actually part of the sermon. So I have a plan for clearing the driveway. We have a snowblower. We have a double-wide driveway. And on this side, there's a fairly narrow strip of grass between us and the driveway beside us. On this side, there's our front lawn and the front lawn of the neighbors on the other side. So there's quite a bit of space. So the plan is I take 2 to 3 swipes down this side, dumping it on the small bit, and the rest of the driveway goes to the other side. The plan works well. But I'm not done there. I do preemptive shoveling. I want to be done so that they don't come back again at me. And so the sidewalk in front of our house, I clear the sidewalk too, because the sidewalk plow always comes back later. And if I clear that out, then when it goes by, there's nothing to put in our driveway. And it generally works pretty well because the sidewalk plow always goes in the same direction until this past Wednesday. And I cleared that sidewalk in front of our lawn and in front of the neighbor's lawn just to be, because there was a lot. Wanted to be sure that we didn't get a whole bunch. So I was a little surprised on Thursday morning when I got up and looked out, and we had like a really solid snowbank by the sidewalk across our driveway. So I looked at the neighbor's. His was completely clear. So our plans don't necessarily work out the way we expect them to, or perhaps the way we want them to. And that can be true of clearing our driveway, but it can also be true of a lot more important things in life. Last week, we looked at the opening of Joseph's story. We looked at Joseph dreaming the vision that God gave to him. For Joseph, his dream was a literal dream from God. We don't usually set visions for our lives based on literal dreams that we have. But we do dream, at least metaphorically or kind of daydream. We think about things. We think about the future. We dream about what might be for our lives. We dream about what could be. We dream about what we want to be. And when we settle on what we want to be, that becomes vision for us. That is a vision. And so then we put plans together on how do we get there. If that's our vision in life, if that's my vision in life, what do I need to do to get where I want to go? My vision for the driveway is to only have to do it once, which means I will now have to clean the sidewalk in both directions, but I can do that. What dreams have you had that have become visions for you, that have become more than just a dream, that have become a vision that you're working towards, that you're striving towards? It could be the career that you want to have, or perhaps a change in career. And the plans that you have to put in place are education, or maybe more education, or training in some aspect. Perhaps your vision is about the family that you want to have, and the plans that you make would involve finding the right spouse, and if you're already there, then perhaps, you know, endeavoring to have children and deciding on how you want to raise your children. Perhaps your vision is about getting really good at a pastime that you love, playing hockey or soccer or running or hiking, playing a musical instrument so that it's good enough that you can play in front of other people, or dance so that you can dance in front of other people, or crafts or knitting or whatever, a million other things. Whatever our vision is, we then need to put in place the plan to get there, to learn to do it, to set aside the time to practice. As I was thinking about this past week, all of this, the ideas of dreaming and making that a vision and endeavoring towards it, it made me think of that speech that Martin Luther King Jr. gave the day before he was assassinated, the I've been to the mountaintop speech. He said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. Wow. I think we are, or at least tend to be, concerned about longevity. We do want to have a long and happy and prosperous life, and so we put plans into place to do that. We eat good food, and we try to get good exercise, and we always look both ways before crossing the street, and we do all the things that we need to do. Of course, that's no guarantee at all, and we know that. Not all of our dreams become visions. And we don't all achieve all of our visions. And then our visions can change. We get part way in a direction and something changes, so our vision goes in another way. But what do you do when your vision, a dream that has become a vision, and then you find a huge roadblock in your way? What do you do with that? Last week, we looked at the opening of the Joseph story. Joseph was the favored son of his father, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and he loved Joseph more than he loved all of the others. Joseph was also Abraham's great-grandson. God gave Joseph dreams that pointed to the vision that God was giving to him. And we saw that that vision included his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. The context that would happen in was not given, but it was revealed to Joseph that his brothers and his parents would bow down to him. Now we need to be clear, this was God's vision given to Joseph. This was not a self-generated vision that Joseph had developed. Now, our Bible reading today is looking at what happened after the vision was revealed to the brothers and to his parents. And to start off with, we see that life went on. Jacob sent most of his sons out to tend the flocks of sheep at a distance from the house. Then he sent Joseph to go and to check up on his sons and to check up on the sheep, make sure everything was going well. It's a small point, but here we find that in the face of vision, in the face of looking to the future and what is to be, life goes on. The sheep still need to be fed. The kids need to be fed. We still need to work. There's lots of things that still need to happen, even in the face of great vision. Just a small point. When his older brothers saw him coming up towards him, wearing that despicable robe that he had, the robe that proclaimed every time they saw it that their father loved him more than them, their collective fury was fueled, and they plotted to kill him. Now let's stop there for a moment and consider why. Joseph had a dream from God that was a vision of what God wanted to have happen. Joseph shared that with his brothers. The brothers became angry and wanted to kill him. Why? You see, at no point in this did the older brothers ever consider the possibility that this dream become a vision was actually from God. It never even crossed their minds. Why was that? Why is it that the older brothers never gave a moment's thought to the possibility, small as it may have been, the possibility that this was God's will, this was God's plan, this was God's vision, not Joseph's? Why did they never think that it was from God? They didn't consider it possibly being from God because they didn't like it. Grant, there's got to be more to it than that, right? No, I think that's it. They didn't like it. They didn't like it, and because they didn't like it, it couldn't possibly be from God. Don't even put any thought into that, because I don't like it, therefore it's not from God. See the kind of faulty reasoning going on there? And this is a massive lesson for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. It is so easy for us to get into the habit of thinking that God shares our politics, that God shares our likes and dislikes, that God shares our taste in music, that God shares our views of right and wrong, that God shares our understanding of what the future should look like. We should never assume that God thinks like us because he doesn't think like us. Sometimes we think kind of like him, but only sometimes. We must never reject something that might be from God simply because we don't like it. That's what the older brothers did. We must always test what we think by what God thinks. And we do that with the Bible. We do that with Scripture to see what God thinks. Important lesson in the midst of this. Back to the story. Reuben, the eldest brother, wanted to save Joseph. He didn't want him killed. And he was able to prevent the other brothers from killing him immediately. And they had him thrown into the cistern after they stripped him of that robe that they hated so much. And then the perfect opportunity presented itself to them. As a caravan of merchants were coming up the road, they could be rid of Joseph without having the guilt of killing him upon them for the rest of their lives. They could be rid of him without the guilt, apparently, kind of without the guilt. And so they sold him to the merchants that were heading towards Egypt. In today's valuation, it says, I think it was 20 shekels in the passage. Today's valuation, that's $165 they sold their brother for. Marketed a human being. They took Joseph's special robe and they covered it with goat's blood and then brought it back to their father, telling him that a wild animal must have killed him. Sorry. And Jacob was devastated, and he grieved deeply and would not be comforted. The vision from God to Joseph resulted in his older brothers hating him and resulted in his father grieving him. What about Joseph? What about Joseph in all of this? We're not told anything about what Joseph said or what he did. We're only told about what was done to him. And consider that. He was forcibly taken. He was stripped of his robe. He was thrown into a cistern. It is almost certain that he overheard his brothers discussing killing him. And then he was pulled out of the pit. He was sold for a low amount of money to strangers going off into a strange land. God gave Joseph this vision that for whatever reason involved his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. That vision provoked anger, hatred, almost cost Joseph his life. And then he was sold and taken away to a foreign land and sold again to one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of his guard. Have you ever had a dream that becomes a vision and you're working towards it and then it just blows up in your face? I've had that. You've had that. Joseph had that. I can only imagine what must have been going through his mind. Besides the trauma of the devastation of his brothers talking about killing him, he must have wondered about the dream. Did he really dream that dream? Was it really from God? Was God just toying him? What was going on? Because he's on his way now to Egypt, pretty far away from the brothers and parents that were going to be bowing down to him. So it was pretty obvious that this vision was not going to come to be, at least from where Joseph was at that moment. When we dream dreams to consider our own futures, we need to test them to make sure they are of God, that they're in God's will. Now, there are times when God clearly gives us vision for something, that someplace he wants us to be in life, and it's so clear and it's so obvious, and that's happened to me a couple of times, and I thank the Lord for it. It's just, boom, it's right there. All we need to do now is make the plans and go. But usually God wants us to do the hard work, which means exploring and considering and praying and thinking and exploring some more and praying some more. As we dream dreams and set vision for our lives, it's vitally important that those visions also be of God. If we are developing our own visions, it is important for those visions to be within God's will. If we hope and expect to have holy and blessed success in what we're endeavoring to do. And so to ensure that the vision that we have set, or the visions that we have set for our own lives, to ensure that they are of God, we test them. We test them against the Bible to see if our vision is any way opposed to God's general will. And we find that. We find God's will in the Bible. And then we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and after we've prayed, we pray some more. And after that prayer, we pray a little bit more, because this stuff is really important. And then perhaps we share our vision with others, with wise Christians, followers of Jesus, who will give us insight and discernment themselves. And then we need to determine if our vision, the plans that we have, if they are in keeping with the gifts and the talents that God has given to us so that we can actually achieve that vision. And going through all of that process and all of that discernment, if we come to the end of that and believe that it is God's will for us to do this, then press on and don't let anything stop you. Press on. But what happens when we hit opposition to our vision? What happens when a massive roadblock gets in the way? Well, I think that it's reasonable to consider the opposition, but not on its own. Consider the opposition in the context of all the other stuff that you've done, checking in Scripture and praying and talking to friends and discerning your own gifts and talents. In the context of doing all of that and coming to the decision that this is God's will, test the opposition against that. And if it still holds that this is God's will, you believe this is God's will, then press past the opposition. Do God's will. Do God's will. I'll let you in on a little secret. When we are following God's vision, when we are doing God's will for our lives, there will be opposition. There will be. It's going to happen. Evil will always try to stop us from doing God's will. Just think of Joseph's older brothers stopping God's will from being done. That doesn't mean that opposition is going to come from evil people or evil places, but the evil that is in this world will always strive to stop us from doing God's will in whatever way. So in fact, opposition to our vision, opposition to the of us trying to work out our vision, can actually mean we're on the right path. That's good to know. It's dangerous to consider that as a universal truth, though, because pig-headed stubbornness in trying to get our own way is not a godly and holy character trait. So we do need to pay attention, and we do need to check this with God again and again. But when we experience opposition to working out our visions, if we truly believe that the vision is of God, then we need to press on. And we need to pray, and we need to trust that God will see his will done. And if it is that God doesn't want us to do it, we should press on until he makes that really clear. And what is true of us as individuals is also true for us as a church. We continue in the visioning process that we've been going through to discern God's plan for the future of St. Paul's. We have a good team that's been working on this. It's a good cross-section of the congregation working to discern God's will for the vision that he has for us. We've been working with a wise and experienced and faithful consultant. Gabe is fabulous and has been very responsive to us. The team has grown since we first started, and we're working together with the session to do this discerning and moving forward. And in the coming weeks, we will be sharing more of what we have learned and discerned from the Lord. But here in this passage, there are a couple of things that are important for us as individuals, but important for us as a church as well, as we do the visioning work that we are doing. And the first point is that we can find ourselves in circumstances that just don't fit the vision. That happened to Joseph. He ended up in a pit and then ended up sold in slavery and ended up in a foreign country. That really doesn't fit the vision. But it didn't make the vision wrong. And it didn't mean the vision wasn't going to happen. There's almost always going to be opposition of some sort to any vision, particularly any godly vision. So that's one thing. As we move forward as individuals and as a church, we can expect that we will end up in circumstances that don't fit the vision, and it will cause us to question and wonder. Press on in God's will. But then there is also the lesson from the older brothers that we must keep in mind through the visioning process, but also through every aspect of our trying to live out our faith day to day. We cannot dismiss something as not from God simply because we don't like it. We can't. There's a logical problem in that. We must always resist the temptation to equate God's will with our own will, to project our will onto God and say, well, this is what he wants. Whatever I like is what he wants. We must always test what we think by what God thinks. And we do that through the Bible. We do that in finding God's thoughts in the Bible. As with living the Christian life as individuals, so with us as a church. If we want to know holy and blessed success as a church, we must follow where God is leading. He will only lead us where he wants us to go. He won't lead us down a garden path unless that is exactly where he needs us to be. All we need to do is to take hold of that vision and to trust him and follow where he leads. And even when we end up in circumstances that don't fit the vision, that's okay, because he is faithful. He was faithful to Joseph, as we will see in the coming weeks. And he has been faithful to St. Paul's for over 60 years, and he will continue to be faithful to us, because that's who he is. So in all of this, I just say, lead on, Lord. Lead on. And let us follow. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for the vision that was found in the past years and decades at St. Paul's. We thank you for the vision that was needed to turn a piece of farmland into a church building in a growing community. We thank you for the faithfulness, the faithful response of your people over 60 years ago. And we thank you that through the years and the decades since then, people have been saved and lives have been changed. We thank you for the holy and blessed success that St. Paul's has experienced over the years. And we thank you that you continue to speak today. You continue to share your will. You continue to reveal your vision for us, even today. And Lord, what is true of us as a church, we understand and know to be true of us as individuals. So we thank you for vision that you have given us in the past. We thank you for learning experiences where we have failed in vision, or the vision has changed on us, or we have come across huge roadblocks and we've had to figure out how to get past. And we thank you that you continue to speak to each of us, and that you continue to share your will with each of us for our own lives, for our own families, and that you continue to share your vision for us, each of us, for our families. Help us, Lord, to take hold of your vision for us. Help us to trust you. Help us to follow you in the face of whatever roadblocks or opposition that we encounter. And in all of this, Lord, help us not to be like the older brothers, to base our understanding of your will upon our own likes and dislikes. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Give us the ability to see and understand your will for our lives, for this church. Our God, we pray for the people of Haiti, who are experiencing oppression and injustice from their government. We pray for resolution there. But Lord, we know that there are so many places in this world where there is injustice and oppression. And so we pray for your intervention. We pray that your will would be done. We pray for resolution and justice and wholeness. And Lord, even as we glimpsed in our scripture passage this morning something about slavery, Lord, we pray for an end to slavery in this world, where tens of millions of people are enslaved in forced labor or in the sex trade. Lord, we pray for your intervention, for an end to slavery, and we pray that you would use us to help in that fight. And God, we pray for the relationship between the people who will be moving into the residence next door and the community around us. We know that there has been opposition to the building and confusion over what's going on. So, Lord, as it nears completion, we pray that your will would be done. We pray for good relationship between the students and the community, and we pray that you would use us to help foster that good relationship. Use us, Lord, in the midst of that, that we would bring attention to you even as we help our community to grow and to understand. Bless us in all ways, Lord, that we should do your will and that we should follow you. For we pray all of this for your glory's sake in Jesus Christ. Amen.